Thanks, Noah. Hi, I'm Josh, and if you haven't had the pleasure, I'm the ministry intern here, and I'm not good at everything, but that's okay, because I'm here to bring the message this evening on no other gospel from the letter to Galatians, written by the Apostle Paul. So before I begin, how about I lead us in a word of prayer? Lord, thank you for your gospel and that you do also hold us safe in your arms. I pray that you would give us open hearts and open ears for this message, and that my words aren't mine, but yours. In your name, amen. Imagine that you've gone to the Louvre in Paris to see the Mona Lisa. However, when you get there, you find that there's two identical paintings that are on display. One's the real Mona Lisa, while the other is a very convincing fake. From a distance, unless you're an expert, you probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference. The only way to determine would be to get right up close to both of the paintings, have your magnifying glass at hand, and carefully examine both of them. It'd be very excruciating work, but how rewarding would it be to discover the genuine masterpiece and reveal the fake for what it is, a worthless copy? Would you be able to figure out the fake from the real? Unfortunately, too many churchgoers aren't able to do this. You see, I'm not talking about artwork. Rather, I mean fake gospels. Gospel messages that have had extras mixed into them. But like when other metals are mixed into gold, the gospel's value is lost. It becomes worthless. The reason, for instance, why we're sitting in an Anglican church building today is because the Catholic Church began to add to the gospel. In 1517, Martin Luther realized there was something seriously going wrong with the church because people were allowed to buy their way into heaven. Because you see, the Pope had commissioned a man named Johann Tetzel to travel around Germany and sell indulgences. The idea being that people could shave off years in purgatory by paying in cash. The more you paid, the less time in purgatory you had to spend. But the problem goes back further than that, because as we read in Galatians, even the early churches were buying into fake gospels. They had become confused about what the true message of the gospel was. Read verses 6 and 7 of Galatians chapter 1. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. The Galatians have let themselves become confused by false teachers and their distorted gospel. Because you see, these false teachers have been going around and convincing the mostly Gentile Galatian church community that the only way they can be truly part of God's family is to obey all of the Old Testament law, especially circumcision. They're teaching a gospel plus message. They're saying, yeah, sure, you need Jesus, but you also need what we tell you. But in doing so, they've created a fake gospel. It's become a worthless fraud. And sadly today, it seems the same danger of gospel confusion is just as rampant. Because millions of people who identify as Christian are also just as confused about the gospel message. They're being deceived and are putting their trust in gospels that seem genuine, but are in fact worthless. Some put their hope in the prosperity gospel and believe that if you have enough faith by giving just enough money or praying hard enough, then God will bless you. Others hope in Christian nationalism, believing that God's plan for salvation hinges on their country, their political party, or their political leader. Still others put their hope in keeping the sacraments, believing that if they're a good Christian who's been baptized and practices the Lord's Supper, then that's enough for them to be a saved person. On the surface, these teachings all have some biblical truth to them, don't they? But the best lies always distort the truth. And this highlights the utmost importance to each of us about being crystal clear on what the true gospel message is. So then, how can we know what the true gospel is? As we read in Galatians 1 today, the Apostle Paul makes two things very clear about the gospel message. First, he begins with the gospel's source at his divine commission. I want you to notice how Paul opens the letter in verse 1. Paul, an apostle, sent not from man nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Paul presents us with his badge of authority. He's an apostle, handpicked and sent by the risen Lord Jesus himself as his authorized representative. Because from the very start, Paul needs to be clear about on whose authority he speaks with. I'll give you an illustration of this. Last year, Kevin Rudd became Australia's US ambassador. He's been sent to the United States by the Australian government. So if Kevin Rudd speaks with Joe Biden or another American politician, he doesn't do that as simply the private individual Kevin Rudd. Rather, he speaks as the Australian government. Because Kevin Rudd's voice isn't just his own voice. Instead, he speaks with the Australian government's voice as well. And so likewise, the Apostle Paul speaks on behalf of the risen Lord Jesus as his ambassador. The Apostle Paul tells us that because he's received his authority directly from Christ, we can trust what he says. Because Paul's message isn't his message. Rather, Paul's message is Christ's gospel. That's why Paul begins with the source of his gospel, by showing us his source. Paul can then explain to us the true gospel's substance. And so that brings us to our second point today, the substance of the gospel. In verses 3-5, Paul gives a brief and yet profound summary of the gospel. Let's start at verse 3. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. That's the gospel in a nutshell. It's because of God's grace alone that we're saved. Peace with God isn't achieved through our own good works. Quite the opposite, in fact. As Paul explains in verse 4, the true gospel is all about salvation by Christ alone. Let's pick up from the end of verse 3. The Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. You see, if we were able to redeem ourselves, then we'd be able to pat ourselves on the back and congratulate ourselves for all the good deeds that we've done. And yet, Christ's gospel, the gospel that Paul preaches, makes it clear that peace with God is only possible because of the good work that Christ did on the cross on our behalf. Not because of any good deed we may have done. And so despite the fact that we enjoy being heroes of our own stories, we're hopelessly lost, and yet Christ did the very thing we weren't able to do. He gave himself for our sins and rescued us from them. And that's what makes the true gospel so humbling. It's not about us. And it turns all of our self-salvation stories up on their head and say, you're in such desperate need of rescue and so lost that you can't find your way. However, Jesus has stepped in and given that way for you. And so, as verses 4 and 5 declare to us, God alone gets the glory. So, how can we know what the true gospel message is? It's the message we've received from God that we're saved by God's grace alone, through Christ's work alone, received by us through faith alone, all to the glory of God alone. Because as Paul reminds us, all of our good deeds aren't and can never be enough to win God's favor. Any gospel message which claims that, any gospel message that says that you must perform or can do anything to earn peace with God by your merit, isn't the gospel. So beware, because nothing could be more important, as Paul gives us a stern warning in verses 8 and 9. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Don't be deceived, brothers and sisters, because the gospel plus anything equals nothing. The gospel plus anything equals nothing. But the gospel plus nothing equals everything. The gospel plus nothing equals everything, because that's what we have gained through Christ. Amen.